This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم. صدق الله. صدق الله العظيم. Mr. Chairman, and my dear brothers and sisters, at the outset, I don't really have to apologize, no fault of mine, that quite a lot of my brethren, they were not permitted to get into the Lowland of Holland. One of my dear brothers, one of Nick Mono, he tells me that the police kicked him, arrested him, took him to prison, all that kind of thing. That brother, I mean, everybody is complaining, but I can't offer what I'm offering that brother in particular. You know, the one who told me about the police kicking him and, you know, wanting to take him to prison, I'm offering that brother a videotape of the Royal Albert Hall lecture, absolutely free. Please, you know, I want you to give me your name and address. You know, if you just put up his hand, then my son is here, you give him the name and address. That brother was telling me about the police kicking him. Which brother was that?
There.
Yes. Let me give you the whip now. You can buy the horse later. The reason for all that turmoil was that the hall was booked by the Christians. You see, it was booked by the Christians because they had challenged us. And when they challenged me, I said, now look, you challenge me, you go and book the hall. Then I will come down. In other words, otherwise you can get every type of puppy. You know, little dogs, pekinese, everybody wants to challenge the man. So you can say, I challenge someone to eat, and you know, I took him to task. I said, no, if you want to have that privilege, you must pay the price. So the guy agreed. Now since he agreed, he paid the price as the tickets were in his hands. They were supposed to give us 50-50. Ha-ha. But the guy didn't play any game. We will not do it. But in the future, I assure you that we will not go to the Royal Albert Hall anymore. That's finished now. No more. It's too small, we have realized it. So either we go to Wembley Stadium or to the exhibition hall in Birmingham, where I'm told that some 20,000 people can be accommodated. The topic I have chosen for this evening's talk is the challenge of Islam. This is a Christian publication. The title of this book is The Challenge of Islam. That is the topic for this evening's talk. In the verse that I read to you from Allah's Kalam, Allah gives us an eternal reminder about our relationship, the Muslims' relationship with the Jews and the Christians. There can be no mistaking about that. He's telling us in the clearest terms, he says, وَلَمْ تَرْضَىٰ أَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَىٰ حَتَّىٰ تَتَّبِيَ مِلَّةً. That the Jews and the Christians, Allah says, will never, I understand in Arabic means a double negative, will never be satisfied with you, O Muslims, unless you follow her brand of religion. And I don't know whether you know that if you choose to opt out because of murder, if you want to join the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglicans won't be satisfied with you. If you become an Anglican or any other Protestant churcher, the Jehovah's Witnesses won't be satisfied with you. If you become a Jehovah's Witness, the Seventh-day Adventists won't be satisfied with you. They have 1,000 different churches and denominations, and each and every one, he is made to believe that he is on the right and even the Christians are all in the wrong. See, the Roman Catholics say, we are the true Christians, the original church. Peter, the first pope, he started it. And all the others who call themselves Protestants have protested away from the true path. So the Lutherans, the Anglicans, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, and 1,000 different churches, they have protested away, so they are out of the faith of Christianity. But they tolerate one another when it suits them, but in the heart of hearts, in their minds, they do not accept the others as one of themselves, like themselves.
So they will never be satisfied. No matter what branch you follow, if you choose to this, that anyone, the other Christians won't be satisfied with you. And this has been from the very beginning. From the very beginning of Islam, the Jews waited the Muslims. Allah says in his Quran, so وَقَالُوا, and they say, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُدًى أَوْ بَصَارًا. That you Muslims will never, again, double negative, will never enter Jannah. There is no Jannah, there is no devil for you, there is no paradise for you, unless you become a Jew or unless you become a Christian. This is what they have been posted. They're telling the Jewish Muslims. They said, you follow this man, illiterate person, he doesn't know how to read or write. You follow him, you'll go to perdition, you'll go to hell. You want to go to heaven? The Jew says, follow us. The Christian says, you want to go to heaven? You follow us. In answer to that, Allah says, Tilka amaniyuhu. This is the wishful thinking, vain desires, hallucination. You say, Fakwa, you know, blah, blah, blah. Don't be afraid of that. Only tell them how it will happen. So produce your evidence in Kuntum Sadiqin. If you are speaking the truth, let us have a look at your Quran, your proof, your certificate that sends you to heaven and destined us to Jahannam. Let's have a look at your proof. And they have produced the proof. They have produced the proof. In 2000 different languages. Do you know that? The Bible. In 2000 different languages. She said, my Bible says this, my Bible says this, my Bible says this, my Bible says this. They have 11 different Bibles for the Arabs alone. Did you know that? I was thinking that there was only one Arabic language, the language of the Quran. That's what I thought. And I thought all the Arabs speak that language. But now they are telling me, other samples here, of 11 different Arabic Bibles. Diaries, script, types of writing. Oh, there is an Egyptian script, Egyptian Arabic. Then there is here, it says Tunisian script. It says here, Al-Karshuni, for the Syrian. There is Algerian colloquial, there is Tunisian colloquial, there is Egyptian colloquial, I don't know all this. And there is the Moorish colloquial, and there is the Palestinian, and there is the Southern Sudan. For everyone, a different dialect, a different Bible. So you Arabs have no excuse on the day of judgment, as the Christians speak. You can say, yeah, by Allah, for these Arabs, you gave them their Bible in their own dialect. Whatever dialect they want, you gave it to them. And the guy still didn't pass it to the fall, serve them to hell. No excuse. Now, Allah bari ta'ala commands us to demand proof. Ul haqubu khalakum. It presupposes that when proof is produced, you will be able to analyze it. Otherwise, it makes no sense. When Allah tells us to demand proof, in the guide of demands proof, we must analyze it. We will solve it. So they produce the Bible in 2,000 different languages. 2,000 different languages they can read the Bible. Proof. My Bible says this, my Bible says this. Now we analyze it. This is how Allah is commanding us to analyze it. When you analyze it, you find they haven't got a lip to stand up. And it is so easy. What life is so easy to live with them? On the basis of the Quran, Allah says, you want proof? That's the proof. And he hasn't got what he's telling you. It's not there. He's programmed. See, we all get so programmed. It's a natural thing. You know, from childhood, my two cousins, they program their little children. This monkey is our god. This elephant is our god. This handsome man is our god. This is our Rama. This is our Krishna. This is our Sita. This is our Hanuman. This is our Ganesh. That's program. And as we grow up, we will start cringing before these images. Program. We can laugh at it. So how can human beings in the 20th century go to 2000 for these things? No, it can't happen. Program. So the Christian also is programmed. From childhood. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. See? He's programmed. He believes that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Begotten. Adam? Yes, the Son of God in the Bible. God is about sons, but the tongues, but no. Jesus is not like that. He was begotten, not made. Adam was made by God. Jesus was not like that. He was begotten. Vijayakin is an animal cat. He belongs to the lower animal functions of sex. How can we attribute such a concept to God? But they are. So now the Muslim, Islam is the only religion which comes into conflict with Christianity. From the point of view that Islam claims to correct, compete and supersede Christianity. No other religion does this. The only religion which tells the Christians that look, this is not right. You mustn't eat the pig. It's not in your book. Jesus has never ate it. That's true. Is none of his disciples ever at that time? Jesus when they killed 2,000 pigs one day. You know, we believe that when he's coming, the second coming is going to destroy the pig. What destroyed the pig? He started 2,000 years ago, he killed 2,000 one day, just like that. What? If it was a good thing, would you have done it? If it was an editor's stuff, you would have done it. 2,000 pigs one day, he destroyed in the Bible. So he said, don't eat the pig. Don't drink alcohol. Don't be promiscuous. Don't gamble. Every step, we are contradicting the Bible. Islam has come to correct, complete and supersede. The Hindu will tell the Christian, say, look, you keep to your religion, you keep to mine. You be a good Christian, I be a good Hindu. He'll tell you the same thing. Say, look, you be a good Muslim, I be a good Hindu. Alright? Don't leave me alone. The Jew says his mind is his own business. He said, look, he's not interested in converting anybody. He's made his religion a racial religion. You have to want a Jew to be a Jew. They don't want him. Because the whole world, them are going in, Nama, Kalim, 50, 30 people, Gentiles. The whole world, they don't want the Gentiles, the rubbish, to come into the religion. So they make the religion a racial. So Islam comes along, Rabbi Kala has given us this deen. He's telling us that he has given you a deen. Leaves a hero for that deen and pull it. That is the prevailing overcome and supersede every other deen, every other way of life. Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianism, Communism, everything is Islam is destined to master them all, bulldoze them all. This is the destiny of Islam. The road which we are experiencing, where they are making inroads into our community, where they are stealing our children, where they are using us as door rats, as punching rats, want to make nests in our head. That road is our choice. This is not our destiny. Destiny Allah gives us this is the master of master them all, bulldoze them all, walau kari al kafirun. So now my Muhammad the unbeliever might not like it. Walau kari al mushrikun, another place. So now my house Muslims might not like it. And he repeats the same formula again in the Quran, three times in the Holy Quran, he repeats the same formula. He says, Huwa allazi arsala rasulahu bil huda. He gives us the messenger with guidance, with haq, and with the religion of truth. Hear about that deen. Pull it! That it may prevail, overcome and supersede every other deen. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِدًا. And enough is Allah is a witness to this fact that is going to make his deen to prevail with you or without you. This is his promise. This role that we are now experiencing is our choice. It's not our destiny. The destiny is to stand to master them all. So Islam is a challenge on all sides. Last and final revelation of Allah Ta'ala, most perfected deen, as he says, and Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenukum, says this day I have perfected for you your religion, wa Akmaltu Alaykum Ni'mati, and have completed my favor unto you, for the people of Islam and Deena, and I will that Islam should be your religion. But, nothing to get, there's a need in it. He's given you a deen, perfect deen, and it's a challenge to the whole of mankind. It's a challenge to the Hindus, to the communists, with the atheists, with the agnostics, with the Christians, with the challenge, with everybody. More especially to the Christians. Because once these lands in the Middle East were all Christian lands, this city was Christian. Lebanon was Christian. All these areas, you call Jordan, all these little bits, all was Christian. All of North Africa was Christian. All Christian land at one time. And when Islam comes on the scene, bulldozes them all of them. And change. Then they are Islamites, Muslims. It's a challenge. Once a Christian land has lost it, then they conquer our land through superior power. They rule us.
They ruled us for 100 years in India, Pakistan, Indo-Pakistan, Japan. They ruled our Indonesian brother for 300 years. They ruled Mozambique for 500 years.
500 years? Mozambique is a Christian country, did you know that? Even today, 60% of the people in Mozambique are Muslim. Did you know that? When the Portuguese, 500 years ago, when they were finding a sea route to India, for our spices, for finding a route to India, they knocked hells into our brother because of the superior weapon, and they conquered this place called Mozambique. Mozambique was the Muslim territory, they were the Muslim governor, an Arab. His name was Musa bin Baik. Musa bin Baik. The Portuguese couldn't say Musa bin Baik, so they said Mozambique. And it just stuck. Mozambique is a Musa bin Baik. The Jabal Tariq, they couldn't say Jabal Tariq, was the Muslim commander who crossed into Spain and they burned the boats. So it's Jabal means mountain of Tariq. Jabal of Tariq, so it's kind of Jabal Tariq, they say Jabal Gibraltar. Manila, the capital of the Philippines, Manila is Ma'amunullah, with the help of Allah, they reach there. Ma'amunullah, you can't say Ma'amunullah, this is a Manila. Muslim. We are a challenge. And in South Africa, this book is written, The Challenge of Islam in South Africa. Clearly found that we Muslims, we are there for 300 years, the first group of Muslims, that touched that those shores were from Indonesia. You see, when the Dutch, the Hollanders, when they conquered Indonesia, those of our brethren who were fighting for the freedom, the heroes, the freedom fighters, they were captured as prisoners of war, and they were shipped to the Cape of Good Hope and sold to the white man as slaves. Then when the British conquered Malaysia, those people were fighting for their freedom. They were captured as prisoners of war and shipped to the Cape of Good Hope and sold to the white man as slaves. Good Hope for the white man. It was Good Hope for the white man. And for 300 years, they have been hammered to Christianize. 300 years. 300 years of hammering. The Muslims there, whom we call Malays, it's a long term, but we call them so-called Malays in the world for us. These Malays are one of the most militant Muslim communities in the world. After 300 years of hammering, they become hard as steel. Amazing. The same period of time, when our African brethren from the West Coast were taken over to America, and they were 100% Christianized. These Muslims, they fought back, and they became one of the most militant Muslim communities in the world. So, for 300 years, and they have multiplied. The Muslims have multiplied.
Beyond natural multiplication. Beyond population, we multiply.
And they are a challenge. They uproot us from one place to another. They uproot us from our settled homes, our Juma Masjid. Take us away out into the Kunduz, into the wilderness. And they will put up our own new habitation. 11 mosques in Chatswa. 30 mosques in Lodium, in the Transvaal. You uproot us, wherefore you uproot us, we pick down again our masjids, taking down, all right, we will be there, inshallah, until the Yawmul Qiyamah. We are a challenge. In a foreign environment, the government is in the favor, financially, they have everything, missionaries by the thousands, and they have not been able to outward us. We are a challenge. This is what the guys tell us in the book. Same thing here. You are here about 100 years. You are numbering today, some say, about 2 million.
In the UK,
2 million. And you are a challenge. You are a threat. You are an offense. Look at this masjid. In the heart of Britain. Look at this masjid. Look at this guy. Where are you going to bring it down? Bring it down. Nothing. Buying churches, buying synagogues. Huh? You are a threat to them. And they crying out.
Yeah, this is the Christian publication. Islam comes to Britain. I showed it to our doctor, Muharram. I don't know if I'm mispronouncing his name. You know our director? I call him Muharram. You know, I don't know, I'm mispronouncing his name. Forgive me. So I showed him this. He said, this is our masjid. This masjid. This is the minar. This is our masjid. I said, yeah, but you didn't publish this. This is a Christian masjid. Islam comes to religion. For what? He said, look, it's a threat and it's an opportunity. The Muslims are a threat and an opportunity. Yeah. England said, the Muslims are coming. The Muslims are coming. The only thing is that the Turk is coming, the Turk. I don't know how many Turks we have here. The Turk. You know, the Turks are coming. They used to put the children to sleep. The Turk is coming. The children go to sleep. This is the Turk of the Turk. Now the Muslims are coming. But this time they are very happy. They are afraid as well as they are very happy. The missionaries are very happy. They have changed their headquarters. International team. They were in Canada. They had the headquarters in Canada. From Canada, they made the center in Birmingham. Why Birmingham? It's a senator of the UK. Huh? And they say, I must read you exactly what they say. Who is making them out of water? Get them to Mumbai. Mumbai. You know when you see some nice food, your mouth water is making them out of water. Yes. See, our goal, our strategy, that's our strategy. There's some Pakistanis sitting there, Muslims. He says, yeah, our strategy, our goal is to feed an English speaking team to Birmingham to work amid the 25,000 Bengali Muslims. Why Bengali Muslims?
Because they are humble, poor people, illiterate people,
more so than the Pakistanis. With apologies, I don't mean anything, sir. You know, the conditions from it, they come overpopulated, and then miserable for centuries, they are coming from there, maybe a little poorer in education and in money than maybe the Pakistani. See? Or the man from the Hyderabad, Dhaka. Better education. So, Bengali is making his mouth water. He's making the Christian mouth water. What an opportunity. Now they say, the Christian. He said, you see, we have five extra advantages against the Muslims. Five advantages they have, which they didn't have before. Number one, he said, you see, previously we had to go out 5,000 miles, 10,000 miles away from home. You know, they are used to this land. They are used to their comfortable homes. From here they have to go to a foreign land, away from a home base. Now, these people are coming. So we can work from the home base. You can sleep with the wife and children, and in the morning we can get started going and knocking people's doors. Or we can work till late at night, then we can sleep with our family. You are now working from the home base. Previously, 5,000 miles away from the home base. 10,000 miles away from the home base. See now? One at one. Number two. Said culturally, the people, when we went to in Africa, or Bangladesh, or Indonesia, culturally, they were very, very backward. We have to sit on a grass mat on the floor, and the flies are buzzing around us, and the smoke is coming from the kitchen of yours, the chimney, you know, chimney. Smoke is coming, he's smarting his eyes is watering, his nose is watering. Now, culturally, you have sofa cushions, you know, nice sofa, comfortable lounge suite you have, and you have a nice dining room table and a chairs all around it. Look, this guy is ready to receive us. You don't have to go anymore to Bangladesh and sit on the ground, or to Indonesia and sit on the ground. Comfort. These guys are already prepared for us, for our needs. This is sofa cushion. So, you have an advantage. Number three, when we went out in the past, to do our mission work, linguistically, we need to learn the language of the native. You go to Bangladesh, you can speak English with them, they have to learn Bengali. You go to Pakistan, you must learn Urdu. You go to Indonesia, you must learn Indonesian. You go to Sri Lanka, you must learn Sulu. Now, these people are speaking our language.
You are making an effort to learn his language
and speak as good as him or
even better. You are
learn his
language. You have to. If you want to survive here, you have to learn his language.
So linguistically, he doesn't have to go out of his way.
Look at the importance that he has now with you. Then, please,
if a man was converted in one of the villages in India, Pakistan, anywhere,
that man stands like a sore thumb.
Everybody says, put that guard in him. You guys are killing him. Hadith, apostate, he's left Islam. You know what goes through him. You see that Muslim brother of God, who was your brother? And now he's a murtad, he's an apostate, he's a kafir. How do you mean?
So everybody, as soon as a man wants
to you know how you feel, killing him.
Now, he says, that guy becomes a Christian. Yeah. 16
million so-called Christians. He can become one of us. No trouble, no worry.
So now, you are not one in the minority. You know the minority, you become one in the majority. Number five, since the governments of those countries, though they are doing nothing to stop the Christians, like in Pakistan. Pakistan has been converted into Christianity since independence than in the previous 100 years of British rule.
More Bangladeshis have been converted into Christianity since independence than in the previous 100 years of British rule.
But the people are not happy. The governments are not happy. Though they are not putting any obstructions in the way, they are not happy.
Here, this federal government is happy. The mainland, all of them, digest them. These are foreign elements, foreign way of behaviors. Make them one of us, make them want to be teachers, make them want to drink wine, you do better business.
Can you see, he kept laughing. And his students are coming, brainwash them, convert them.
So,
perhaps it's not working. It's a challenge. It's an eternal challenge to the Christian. We are an eternal challenge. You are a provocation. The very fact that you are a Muslim is an insult. The very fact that you are a Muslim is an insult. You really are broken, you are an insult.
To them,
maybe we also feel it that way. So we said, take it away. Put it in the pocket. Yeah, they are an insult to them. You are promoting them, even with this.
Previous to this, we with the red dress, Turkish dress. I used to wear that. And a Turk. We had a brigade, called the Muslim Dance Brigade. Everybody wore that Turkish dress. But a Turkish dress. The red Turkey with a cap. Yes. But now, even this humble thing, we are telling
you. We have lost our identity. We have lost the Sikh, a handful of Sikhs compared to us in India.
There are 15 million Sikhs. You know those guys with the turban and the hair comes out and goes back into the turban?
Look, we must take our hat to them. What not? They have an identity. They identify themselves as a Sikh. He's proud of being a Sikh.
We are ashamed of being a Muslim.
Yeah.
You don't have to wear anything provocative of this humble thing. Even this you are afraid of.
You know what? Inferiority complex. You know what this can do?
This is one of the most potent weapons.
Yeah, this. This is the problem. It's the most potent weapon. In India, I'm telling my brother that if you wear this,
120 million Muslims,
you just put on this. You know, it boosts your morale. It will boost your morale. It's mad that you hear so many Muslims.
It tells them the enemy.
So many Muslims? Huh? In India, in our country. It terrifies the guy out of his mind. And our Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's on this psychology. He said, for Eid, Eid ka, go to our Haifa.
Therefore, here is the Jamaica, but we can go to Haifa.
Somewhere else, 10,000 people, 100,000 people, go to Eid Gah. Why Eid Gah? He will take military leave.
What do they do? They will not go to Salah.
No.
The woman goes, in any condition, she goes, the children goes with her.
Now the enemy is watching. What? So many Muslims?
We didn't know. And the Muslims, we didn't know there are so many.
boost your morale, and tell you by the enemy.
You tell him that that's the psychology of Eid Gah. But no. We don't want to go out.
You see, yeah, maybe people will see us
as a little monkey, keep going up and down. We might result in enclosed.
That's beautiful message, yes. But commonly, he said, who to give God? What for? Psychology behind it. Even men to any human, you know. What for? There's a psychology behind it. It's a super. You see your brother, so many. Tell you the enemy.
In India, I went to my country. I was born in India. After 50 years, I returned to see.
And there is a town
from where I come from called Surat. Surat is above Bombay. It's a small port where Arab traders went, you know, to market the dates for our Muslim port, our turmeric, our tamarind. And we came into contact with them and we became Muslim. My people are still.
In Surat,
when the British were ruling,
any kind of trouble between Hindu and Muslim, we had Muslims who were Urdu speaking in Gujarat. They speak Gujarati like me, but also their home language is Urdu.
This is, there were old soldiers left to the Turks, you know, when the Turks conquered the place, and now we are those remnants left over, so they speak Urdu. We speak Gujarati.
He also speaks Gujarati, just as good as us.
But his home language is Urdu. We call them Miyabais. No insult intended for anybody. This is how we call them in the record. We say Miyabais. We are Borans. We are Sunni Borans. Borans, we are.
So, these Miyabais,
they were a military compared to my people. My people are farmers. You know, they're humble people.
These Miyabai, any other side can do that. No problem for us being the villages around Surat, no problem.
The Miyabai got the job. The Miyabai got the job.
In the military from
there. Tomorrow, that's spiritual type of problem. More like the Pakistan.
So I go after 50 years and I can't see a single Miyabai. Not one. What happened?
They don't want to be recognized.
Wow! Wait, you're terrified.
Of the Hindu, you don't want the Hindu to recognize you.
Psychology is, it does the job. You think it for that, your mind is already gone down. Finished. You're terrified. Because you don't identify yourself, you're terrified. If I identify, maybe people might start some trouble, or maybe they might not hire my taxi. Fine. So it does the job. And the Hindus are telling me, two things you must do to these Muslims in India, two things.
Number one, dissuade them from using their Muslim names.
It's very easy. Very easy.
Dissuade you from using your Muslim name. You go for a job, what's your name? Muhammad Sadiq.
You see now it's full up. Maybe some other time, maybe if there's something I will write to you.
Ahmad Didar. Didar is fast. You see, this is a Hindu surgeon. We are Hindu surgeon. Originally. You see, we retain the sun.
Ahmad
is Muslim. No chance.
So I go, try one place, another place, another place, I'm getting here, making a headway. So I said, no man, maybe it's a name. So I'm Dida, but Dida can pass, but Ahmad, look man, do something with Ahmad.
Maybe I can get a job. See, try for it. They said, dissuade you from using your Muslim name. Number four, dissuade you from wearing a headway.
They're telling you, dissuade the Muslim from putting on an identity.
And you did it voluntarily, they didn't say anything, you just did it. What they want you to do, you did it.
So 120 million Muslims.
No, say, you have witnessed not what happens in that country. A handful of six, Indira Gandhi or Benny Gandhi say, is there? And Rajiv Gandhi gave them everything they wanted except independence. We Muslims, we can't even cry in that country, you know that? We can't even say, why are you hitting us? Then every day, two riots a day are taking place against our people in our own motherland, and you can't even cry. Why? You lost your identity. Who made you to lose it? You did it yourself, all of you.
No, these are little
things, little things. I'm not telling you, men who put on a turban, put on a red vest, and provoke people, you know, like they red rat to the moon. We don't want you to do that.
That's something humble.
Sikh has got an identity. That identity is in power. He is like a lion. He is a sheep and goat. Emasculated animal ready for slaughter.
If I'm wrong, a Christian type, you can question me and you can take me to task. Even afterwards, I said, look, uncle, I think these are all fixed, false, all you are talking about. I said, look, this is what I meant also.
This is the reason. If you have a pet here, you see a man in the streets, a star, they go,
I have been traveling, this is the seventh trip of mine to the UK. I have been traveling in the underground. And I see a man approaching me. I can't start a conversation. You guys are asking, where you come from?
You people say, is that your business? Do I owe you something?
But if you had something on, the Salaam alaikum, wa alaikum salam.
So we come from Ahi,
they come from Morocco.
No, mashallah.
You are from Africa?
I'm also from Africa.
I'm from South Africa, you come from North Africa.
Mashallah.
You're from Libya,
mashallah.
Here you come. Immediately, you're going to do what? You're a Muslim?
It's an open society. Salaam alaikum, it's hard to come open. So you come from there, that's your son. And I'm looking for accommodation, I'm looking for a house. So look, I know somebody in Livingstone. Come, I'll take you and show you.
I want to go to the masjid. So if I see somebody in the head, say, excuse me, sir, I'm going to the masjid. He says, come, come.
I'll take you.
Otherwise, I don't know who to talk to. Identity.
Oh, that's one more.
So we are an offense to the Christian. We do everything. That does it. So I love you. Some people, Jalda,
Jalda.
Please, Jalda. Or you change. And this is our destiny. When Allah says,
given your being, that is the master of them, supersedes them all, rules them all, not with the gun. You will be held. If you are evil, get the laser gun. You have no right to force Islam down anybody's throats. Allah says, like Rahmat, there is no compulsion. It's worth it. If you have the power and you force people to accept it, it is not worth anything. It must be a voluntary acceptance. Become your brother. So, intellectually, Allah has given it to us. There is not a system that you can't be with on that level. Intellectually. The Christians, they have now started new systems, new techniques. When I was here at the Islamic Cultural Center the last time, I spoke on the subject, man and God relationship. How many of you were here? Please put up your hand, I have an idea. Not many. So, whatever I might have said, it bears repetition. If the 50% of you put up your hand, I said no. It's not fair to start, you know, pushing the same thing down, repeating it, but I think it bears repetition. You see, how I got started with this? People are asking, how did you get to, what do you know, how do you know all these things? So I didn't go to any university, to any Darul Uloom, you know. They asked me where, I don't know, when I went to Malaysia, you know, at one of these training colleges, they asked me to go and deliver a talk. So the chairman, who was going to be the chairman, is asking me. He wants to introduce me. He said, which university you went to? So I said, I went to the University of Hard Knocks. He said, where? I said, it's all over the world. Now he still didn't catch a joke. He still didn't catch a joke. He's not used to that type of language, be a beautiful. So he's introducing me. So Mr. Dida went to the University of Hard Rock in Germany. So the Hard Rocks were Hard Rocks. You see, after leaving school, I started working in a country shop away from the city. And this is a Muslim shop. And across the valley from where the shop was, there was an American born mission, American mission. And they were doing missionaries. Yeah, in South Africa and Natal, outside Durban, training missionaries. And these missionaries, whatever they learned, they came to experiment on us in the shop. He said, you know, Mormon has told me why. I said, I know nothing about that. No, I knew nothing about that. He said, you know, Islam was spread at the point of the sword. When Muhammad forces religion down people's throats, said, if you don't accept Islam, chop off your head. I knew nothing about that. He said, you know, the Quran was copied, Muhammad copied the Quran from the Jews and the Christians. I knew nothing about that. This is the only thing I knew about Islam was that I did the Kalima, I'm a Muslim. And if I let any of you live,
And you say you're a Muslim?
He said, yes, this is the Kalima of the Shahad.
Really?
She said, I don't know Muhammad Rasulullah. I say, you pass.
That's my test. It's like a magic formula. If you can say that you're a Muslim,
if you can't say that you're not a Muslim. That's the only thing I knew. I knew how to do Salat. The way my father knew who I did. The way he made Salat, I did it. The way he passed, I passed. That's what Islam I knew. I knew nothing. And these guys are telling me, using the Prophet, using Islam. All the other staff, all school boys, all cheap labor, you know, just at school, everybody, me and all the others. And we are utterly helpless to go this Christian mission. So either leave the job and run away, or you fight back. But you can't fight back if you have no knowledge. You need weapons. No weapon, no knowledge. And job you have to get. You can't go and start looking for another job. You can't. Very difficult. It was those days. So Allah is Musabbibul Asbab. He is the creator of opportunity. If he wants to help you, he opens the doors. As his promises. So وَالَّذِينَ جَعَدُوا فِيْنَا لَهُمْ يَنْهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. So whosoever strives in a way, we open up doors. Pathways, open up. So I had a hunger for read. I had that. But for the Muslims, we don't want it. We are the fikr of the very first word of the revelation Allah gave over the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Iqra, read. We are all in line with the people who don't read. We don't read. But somehow I had this. And I couldn't afford to buy books. So I was good in newspapers. Old newspapers. When I read it, it's new. Whatever I read, it's new. The 6 months old, year old, if I read it, it's new. Everything is new. I read. So one Sunday, we don't work on Sundays. So I go to the boss's warehouse, and they ask me to buy the old newspapers, and in the newspaper, I'm rummaging for some better material to read the newspaper. Like a magazine. We have magazines like the House Pack. Farmers Weekly, Personality, anything like that is preferable to that old newspaper. I'm rummaging through. And while I'm rummaging through newspapers, I come across a worm-eaten book. Reddish in color, full of mildew. I pick it up and I start to sneeze. I'm not sneezing now. I start to sneeze. And I look at the book. It says, Izharul Haq. I-Z-H-A-R-U-L H-A-Q. Izharul Haq. It's written in Latin, which is English. Izharul Haq. Izharul Haq. Sounds like a Muslim. Izharul Haq. What is Izharul Haq? I don't know, but it sounds like a Muslim. You know, book is written in I-Z-H-A-R-U-L, but it sounds like a Muslim. So I see at the bottom in the small letters, it says, the truth revealed. I said, maybe it's how it happened. The truth is here. So let's have a look. From the book, I'm reading. It was about the British conquest of India. When the British people conquered my country, they felt that at any time, anybody would give them trouble if they're the Muslims. Because power, rule, dominion was wrenched out of the hand. And once you have tasted power, you aspire to get it back once more. This is human nature. You tasted power, you want power once more again. And the Muslims were a militant people. From the Hindu quarters, there's no fear. Because they were as docile as the cows that they were worshipping. Allah is very kind. Not now, they changed. But they were as docile as the cows that they were worshipping. So they felt that if they can convert the Muslims, they can rule India for 1,000 years. Just change the people. Teach them to turn the other cheek. What Jesus said, that you strike him in the right cheek, give him the other. Teach this fellow to do that. And you can rule India for 1,000 years. So they started pouring in the missionaries like frogs in the rainy season into India. And they started challenging the Muslims to public debates. At first the Muslims were reluctant for 2 reasons. Number one, the British have conquered us. If you see something and fight that too strongly, they might send us to Kalapana, Andaman Islands. You know, like in South Africa, they send us to Robert Island. So they must send you somewhere to Kalapana. In the Bay of Bengal, there's Kalapana. Andaman Islands. There's the port, all kinds of. So then you just carry it there. So now they might send us away there. So this thing is to keep out of the way. Number two, he says, the guy challenging us, in English and we can't speak English. Good excuse. Our other people, we can't speak his language. How can we debate with them?
So they mastered our language. And this is the genius of the Western.
Wherever you go, he learns the language of the native. Wherever you go, he goes to Indonesia, he learns Indonesia. He comes to Sulu language, he goes to Sulu. He goes to Basutu language, he goes to Sulu. He goes to Swati language, he goes to Swati. Wherever you go, he masters your language. He goes to the Arab language, he learns your master's your language.
So he masters our language, and he challenged Muslims in
Delhi, to public debate. Now, what excuse? So Maulana says of Delhi, definitely, he accepted the challenge. The young men, stampede the king, said, come on, now, you must talk in our language. How can you say no?
So he accepted. And according to the appointed time and date, the debate starts. And I'm told in the book that 100,000 people gathered in India here that day. And there was no mic system there. I don't know about how voice travel in those days. But you get the jackass pressure. Now you see your view, and then, this is a little tiny thing. And then somebody passes the train, you know, good look.
You mara, Masha. Maybe he creates his own story. You see, but what's going on there? He's coming to you. And what's going on there?
So, according to the appointed time and date,
the debate starts.
And Reverend Pongal was the guy from Britain, from your country. He speaks in Urdu, ke Maulana Sahib.
Get the debate started. So,
Shuru kijiye.
Get started.
So the Maulana says, look, you are our elder brother. Christianity received Islam by 600 years. As such, you are our elder brother. And according to our culture,
you have the first preference. Number two, he says, you are our guest. No doubt I can't welcome guests. But the guest at that.
And according to our culture, Hamara Mirvan,
first Reverend to us,
yes.
So as such, you get to be more started.
So the Reverend begins in Urdu. He says, Maulana Sahib, where is your Prophet Muhammad now?
Now, this minute, where is he?
So the Maulana thinks for a moment and he says, he's in Jannat al-Firdaus,
in heavenly bliss, without a barita.
After that answered him the second question. He said, alright, alright. Tell us now.
Where was he when his grandson Hussein was martyred at Karbala? Where was he then?
So the Maulana again talked for a moment and he said he was still in Jannat al-Firdaus,
in heavenly bliss with Allah by Allah.
After that answered him the third question. He said, alright, if he was with his Allah, as he said,
and there was a long pause. So the Reverend Sahib begins to speak. Come on.
Didn't he ask Allah for help?
He said, you have a big brother, something pulling you. You have a big happy brother there. I said, look at this guy, he's taking an anchor and brought it on the beach. He said, come to the rescue.
Why should that?
Allah is there, Prophet is there,
only ask Allah, what's happening there, Karbala?
Indeed!
Can you see?
So the Maulana said in Sikhi,
he did ask Allah for help. It's a natural thing to do. He said, what did he say? What did Allah say? Because you know he was not saying
all this is going on in Urdu.
What did he say? And there was an inaudible,
a very long pause. And the man who foolishly started standing, he said, come on, what did he say? And everybody said, the Maulana and the Maharaj. The Maulana got a little book up.
So the Maulana starts. He said, Allah cried, Allah is Rodia. So, Allah cried.
He said, Allah cried. He said, I don't say the word, Jesus. How can I say so grandson? And then the debate was over.
You see, it has nothing to do with truth or falsehood. It is matching of the wits. You know, it's a wit. There is a saying that Christ's arm is he whose cause is just. Because it's just, you know, you can stand for it. You're going to fight it. You're going to prepare to die for it. But rice and see you get it first. The guy will not give you the whole throat. Now when you're on the right, useless. So, Arjuna is not about it. I'm reading this in the book. It makes the book interesting to me. Then I read about an Arashat. You know, a little ruler, something like little Amirat. He's a little ruler. And a Christian missionary got stuck in tradition. And they have a position. We admire mine. They'll never let you go. If you give me a finger, he'll catch you by the hand. They'll never let you go. If you call him in, he'll have to speak to you, give him tea and samosas and bhajas, they'll never let you go. Until one day he says, hey, keep out of my door. I'll put a knife to you. Or you have to put either way. Otherwise, there's no way of keeping him out. There are procedures. We have a quiet. You know, we have an argument and we beat the fellow. And they said, I beat the fellow. Why don't you persuade? My love is in it. Why don't you invite him home? No, I beat the fellow and lock him out. That's our mentality. That guy, if he makes a little crack on you, no chance for you until you are converted. So, this Christian missionary is making hell for this poor share. Christ has been sins. You know, God Almighty, he came down to earth. You know, he has such compassion and feeling for mankind. You come in the grave. So God himself has come to earth and he has died a man to redeem you of your sins. That God Almighty, he died for you. He died for you. This is the only thing he can give you. And he's telling them about that. Believe. You don't have to pay five times a day. Winter and summer, fasting full month, winter and summer, killing yourself, winter and desert land. Perhaps, you don't have to do all that, straightjacket in your life. No, you just believe that Christ died for your sins and salvation is yours. If it was true, because that's all of us, that's right. You know what a fantastic way. You don't have to do all this. What are you going to do? God Almighty, he gave his life, his son is himself coming out of earth in the form of a son, and he died for your sins. There's no way out for the portion. No way out. He is not equipped, he is not to the arguing debate, but this guy is pushing in day in and day out, every day and day. To rescue himself, he had a dream. So he tells his secretary, his prime minister, he said, look, next time this guy comes along, whisper something in my ears. Just whisper in my ears. So the guy came next morning, and this secretary, as he was told, and the sheikh started to cry, like a woman. Mother, I died. So the priest wants to know what happened, the missionary wants to know what happened. No. And his mother had died. Come. I can sympathize with you. God, what has happened? Is that the sad news? That Achishu-Lehim-Chibir-Insalam died. Gabriel died, Archangel-Gabriel died. So the priest says, see that you just will die. He said, are you fool? You tell him that God died? Now I'm reading this in the book. You see, I'm reading all this in the book. So I'm sitting there in the boat house, on the way up, on the floor, in the dust. I'm reading this, I can't let go. Reading about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, about this, wonder is that, happened to that. So, when I had a chance, I go to Durban, I go to a secondary bookshop, and I find a New Testament. I bought for sixpence. That is a small piece. We had a smaller piece called Tiggy, 3 penny piece, in silver, look at silver. And a little bigger, sixpence. So I bought a sixpenny New Testament. That's the start. So, I go back to the starting place. Matthew, wonderful Matthew, Mark. This one called this Mark, also, find that. I mark it at this stage, you find the contradiction there. This one is Luke, contradicting John. Then he says, I did, so and so. I did. So I look for I did in the Bible. And I don't, I did means you should say, in the same. If it's Matthew, then it's I did means the same in Matthew. But I don't know what it means, I did. So, I look for Ivy in the Bible. I can't find Ivy. He says, no. So now, I'm getting armed. I know something about the Bible. I mark it.
So now when they come to do their Bible, I say, do you going to send out the church?
Then I said, no.
So where do you live? That's right. I'll come to you. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock.
Right? So I go. I said, now look, 1 point you give me in the favor of your religion, I give you 10 against it.
You give me 1 row, I give you 10.
That's the only language I knew. See, I'm a school boy, just a school.
You give me 1 row, I give you 10.
Even I got my kids now. See?
Not with the face, with the intellect.
And every Sunday is a new congress. I'm so blessed. It's so precious that you're so about. You know, I did boxes. And I know when you get the guy, I don't know if you are when you go with him, it gives you some ecstasy feeling. I'm going to get the guy.
I did wrestling, I did judo, I did weightlifting. Can you see where I'm standing now? I just people joking, don't make a mistake, don't try. Don't try. Think you're an old man, 68-year-old, so don't take a chance, don't take a chance.
So, you get that pleasure, holding the turnover, knocking him over. Oh, how tasty it is. Then I go to Durban, that's right, I look for bigger market. See, every Saturday afternoon,
you go to the one.
I have my lunch and look for a church. Look for a church, yes. I knock at the door, look for the father.
The priest,
the father,
you know, I'm very interested in religion. I would like to come home and, you know, enjoy my meals, you know, bring the family along, and I would share, exchange the word of God with you.
I go sweet people. It's a pleasure. Take the guy to your house, and my wife will cook, you know, Mr. Jelda,
you know, your religion, the sweet rice,
and Suji, or Suryani, and they enjoy my food, and they say they enjoy my call. I give them a good passion.
Nobody ever comes back. They enjoy the food, they enjoy everything, but nobody ever comes back. For a second dinner, nobody.
That's my hobby. And Allah says, woman ahsan qawla man da'a ila Allah. Who is better in speech than he who was given to Allah? وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا in the door of the deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ And he says, I'm a whole of Muslims who has submitted the miracle to Allah. He's asking who is better than him in speech than he who does this. In other words, there is nobody in speech. The best speech making that you can do is to invite people to Allah. The best hobby, the best preoccupation, the best occupation is this. My hobby has become my occupation. I can't imagine anybody having a better job than what I have. Oh God, there is it. My hobby is my occupation. It's a hobby.
So I started knocking people out here, there, everywhere, and the pleasure it gave me that now he's bringing me to the Royal Performance. Once, twice and 5 months.
Now he's accepting me again.
I said, look, Royal Performance is too small. We'll have to go to Wembley Stadium or we go to Birmingham.
This is the hobby. This is the primary occupation of the Muslim.
You and the ladies are all you. What about you? Whether you speak, doing your pilot, there's no shame in drinking food. Any honest labor, no shame.
But every Muslim must have a second occupation. And that is sharing Allah's dinner with people. Udu with us, we can have to come here. To invite all to the ways of thy Lord with Mishnah. Well, now we have the Hasanat and his beautiful preaching. Well, you are the Hasanat and bring them to them. Please, let us bless them. My brother and my sister, I said, there is a very easy way. Our lady, our employer, our co-workers, invite them home for a cup of tea,
and your pictures and samosas, and your jellybeans.
Your jellybeans, you know, the ground round thing, with the juice inside, sweet meats.
Ooh. You know, I did one my African lady, she came, you know, I took her home and I gave her tea and jellybeans.
And she ate that. She's asking, how do you make the juice inside? She wanted to know how the juice went inside the jelly. God, they're interested. You want to know. I saw such lovely food. Our culture, our samosas. I tell you, we cannot be alone. You don't have to be very clever. ridiculous. You said ridiculous. I said, no.
Prophet is Germanus. Professor of philosophy. He was polluted by eating a dollar rice. Professor Germanus in Bad, Dr. Muhammad in Bad, was studying philosophy in Germany together. Before Pakistan came to be, this guy around the 40s, Professor Germanus visits India. That's a point. Then he goes to Lahore, goes to meet his old friend in Bad. He was a private. Bad is gone. He reaches the Bad house. Finding out where he is, he reaches the home. And he buys his friend that just seated at the underground with that little sheet and then eating golden rice with some chutney, chataka, some kachumar, you know, salad and things like that. Sat down. And he sees his friend there, the doorway, says, come, 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 man, come. He says, no, I carry it. Come on, man, he says, come, come. That's Muslim hospitality. You say, you had it. Oh, my man, come and sit down. But I know, I'm here. Says, you people in Britain, you have changed. That hospitality is gone out of you. You have become like an Englishman. See, the Englishman says, why did you call me to forget it? He said, my people are very hospitable in South Africa, the Muslim. But the same problem when you come here, you see, we have a saying in my language, that when you tie a horse with a donkey, the horse can't pray like a donkey, but he lifts up his head. If ghode ko khudde ke saath bandha hai, to ghoda unchi unchi nahi kar sakta, matlab sar uncha karta hai. And my own people, I'm coming in, finding out that they also become like those donkeys that you are tied to. You also didn't like that. You wouldn't have anything to call me. What? He said, whatever is there, come and sit down and eat. So he said, come, he wants, come, judge. So he sits down and eat. And he's eating what? Dollar rice. Of course, the dollar is converted. See, it's a bunny apple. My machine. When we have bunny apples, you need to eat in dollar rice. Without meat. Now, you put meat inside, you make it Muslim. But putting meat inside. So, it's a very Muslim dollar rice. Can you try it? So tasty in Allah. He's so exotic. In my country, the African hawks it. You know, the white man hawks it. The country, there's no people there in the country when we give a food that even exists. He eats and eats like a hawk. So this guy, Professor Germanus, is eating, tasting the chutney and so what is this? So this is daughter rice, our staple food. So what? A nation that can change this simple, staple thing like dollar and rice into such an exotic food, what kind of a wonderful religion is that? To accept that religion. That dollar rice is one of the plan. Sounds so silly. Foolish! You did it. People see our gang in the toilet and they get promoted. You know that? Gang in the toilet. My secretary, from our office, from our office, we can see the Jumamas in here. We can see the bashes. People come in. And he sees somebody around lunchtime, somebody peeking into the masjid, into the window. So he was going home for lunch, so he goes and walks up to the fellow and says, look, Gary, you want to do anything? He says, yeah, I'd like to know a little bit about Islam. He says, look, I'm going for lunch. If you like, you can join me. And while they are at the lunch table, I can tell you. He says, all right, come. Takes him home. And he goes home, he says, excuse me, I'm going to go to the toilet. My secretary says. So he goes to the toilet, he comes out. So the other man says, Englishman, Hogan, Mr. Hogan, Englishman. He said, look, I also want to go to the toilet. No. He goes to the toilet, he comes out. He said, what do you mean the gang inside the toilet? So what do you mean the gang? So he explained. And then go for number one, we wash. Go for number two, we wash. What? So yes. You know that for good of the world. Hygiene! The top most hygiene in the world. Another guy who was converted, the Reverend James Cameron, they call him Shamanthi, his prayers are still Roman Catholic, very staunch. And they always had a system. But he's a very patient young man. Shamanthi Cameron, you know, there was a lot of Cameron. He's Shamanthi Cameron, Englishman. So he also takes the can into the toilet. So the father asks him, Jimmy James, why do you bring the can into the toilet? So he explains. Again, after a few days, he's getting impatient. Jay, what do you mean with a can in the toilet? So he says, Daddy, look, you waste 100 gallons to wash the can. With heartbeat, you know, this disinfectant, to wash the can, make it clean, so you can stand. But he says, Daddy, you don't use 1 drop of water for yourself. On yourself, not 1 drop of water. The can is to wash, but not for yourself, not 1 drop for yourself. He goes and says, it's right.
Somebody, his father, what he tells his wife, he says, you know, what Jesus said is true, but I won't admit it. Voila, it is so easy. And that, all of them, I say, all of them, for example. What your preachers and some others say, you don't do. It's half the battle. There is no better way to get into the heart of a person than to be stopped. Look, this is the example of an idea Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. It's Sunnah. Nobody talks about it. I haven't heard a single learned man talking about the Sunnah of the Prophet. That when he was commanded to preach, he called the leaders of the Quraysh, invited them for dinner. And after dinner, he stood up to deliver the message. In among the leaders was Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl means father of ignorance. He was no father of ignorance. He was the shrewdest of the Arabs. He was about one of the very few fellows among the Arabs in the time of our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who could read and write. He was a rare fellow. His real title was Abu Hikma, the father of wisdom. He is the father of wisdom. But our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that with all his knowledge, if he can't see the light of truth, he is not Abu Hikma, he is Abu Jahl. Therefore, because the light, his knowledge is not making you see the truth, so he is Abu Jahl, he is the father of ignorance. So that title, what should happen to me, that nickname, he was no Abu Jahl. He was a good Sikh, father of Krishna. Clever fellow, shrewd fellow. So he stood up, he said, you can listen to this youngster, for this lesson, what is he gave you? Come, 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 come. Shh. He scattered them all. He scattered them all. Just like that. What devil can do this one? He can take the whole thing of the head. What does our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? He invites the Jesus of the Quraysh. One straw for dinner minus Abu Jahl. Nobody talks about that Sunnah. Nobody is telling about the beauty of Sunnah. I believe all the Sunnahs. But nobody talks about this Sunnah. Why? You know why? You're the first Sunnah. That Sunnah is the first. The other Sunnah is the first. For me to tell you what you give a beauty, what is the first? I think you want to pray back the day. What is the first? Nothing. But I'm taking logon ko khana khila, phir ki kar, call them home, phir kar na, he's going to cost me something, I'm going to set an example and he's going to cost me something. So that's it. Don't talk about it. You do that. You follow the Sunnah. Of our Nabi. The first Sunnah of this propagation he did. Follow the Sunnah. Follow them. Feed them. Talk with them. Is it missing the Quran? Get a translation. That is Abdullah Yusuf. I don't know this. I will look tonight or not. They're supposed to be available. This Quran, Abdullah Yusuf. You know, almost 2,000 pages, 1,950 pages, for £6. There is not another book in the UK you can buy 2,000 pages for £6. A 200 page book I will buy for £19. £19. Yes. This is 2,000 pages for £6. Now, you owe it to yourself. I will make no commission. I promise you. No commission. You buy from any. Whoever is better, you buy it. This book, what it can do for you and your children. This book, this translation is the only translation which gives you a verse by verse translation. It begins, for example, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Just opposite that. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So all praises due to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the world, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, most gracious, most merciful, verse by verse translation. So over a period, you have always been Arabic. That's how I am. When I'm talking, I seem to understand what I'm talking, though I don't know Arabic. Simply because I have been using this translation. Again and again, again and again. So that constant repetition makes me to feel that I know. And I feel that I seem to know through that system. Number two, he gives you a commandment so beautiful. Allah is so beautiful. And his language is so good as it is an inspiration in itself, the language. The Westerner, you show him this, he can't believe that an Oriental would have written that. As it is a new revelation, it is the English I'm talking about. You don't have to read Shakespeare or Milton to improve your English. Then he has a very comprehensive English at the back. What do you want to know? Anything, everything you know about the Jew, or Israel, and the Israeli, and the Israeli.
You want to know about industry, you want to know about Jesus, you want to know about marriage, you want to know about divorce. What do you want to know? Whatever you want to know on the human. You want to know about marriage in the age, you want to know about divorce in the scheme. Everything on the human. I said, you wait for yourself. And your children, you need, your children need it more than anything. If you, my elders, if you understand Urdu better than any other language, I say get into Urdu translation. You understand Gujarati better than any other language, I say get into Gujarati translation. You understand Bangladeshi better than any other language, I say get into Bangladeshi translation. But in your home, in this country, if you want to live here, if you want your children to live here, it is imperative that you get into this country. Imperative. Because without this language, you will not be able to present this to what it is. Impossible. You might know Arabic, you have it also. You might know Arabic, you understand. Directly you imbibe the message. Still not good enough. Still not good enough. If you want to be in this environment, if you want to share this message, you tell, you will also mean the same thing. If you want to live in this country, you want to talk to the people, you've got to get an English translation. Improve your English. But improve your English. And you're using the right words, the appropriate words to convey the message. In your own mind, you know you understood that now when you're going to start explaining to somebody, you can make a hash of it. You can murder the whole thing, the whole idea. So, get this. Use it on your neighbors, your fellow workers. Open it with them tea and cake. Shaz and Samusas, open the book. Yes, you know what Rabbi says about Jesus? No. Open the book. Start reading to him. From Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 42. قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ. Says, behold, the angel says, oh Mary. You will say, you understand that, you know what I mean. This is when you say, the angel was telling Mary, that's a beautiful one. He says, no. Behold, the angel says, oh Mary, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Chosen thee and purified thee, chosen thee above the women of all nations. Yeah, what is the thee? What is the thee? What should thee? What have you found out in thee? So obey thee. Worship the Lord and bow thee. Prostrate thyself and bow down and pray to the Lord and bow down. This is the language. You're learning vocabulary, you're learning construction of sentences, and you're using the most appropriate word for conveying the message. On your own, you understand. Well, I know. You know, you don't need. Between you and Allah, there's no problem. But when you want to share, you need exact terminology. Right word. In the right place. And not as well. You see, you know, the man is thinking that the Quran is doing and. You are doing and. Don't use this upon the book. Please use the exact language of the Quran, the way the man has taken 40 years of his life to do this job. Use it. With these words, Chairman and my dear brother, I am very, very grateful for the young man for creating this opportunity for me to come and share these few thoughts with you. May Allah reward them and reward you. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Brother, let we can go on forever. We really appreciate the time you spent with us. But for the next 15 minutes or so, we'd like to invite questions from both brothers and sisters. There's a microphone upstairs in the sister section, and there's one on my left here for the brothers. If you queue up behind the microphone, we'll have alternate questions between the brothers and sisters. So if the brother has a question, please take advantage of this opportunity.
Great pleasure to listen to you, really, today and in the elder talk. And I'd like to ask you a question, which almost I thought of. Is there any Christians in the world today who believe in Allah alone?
Yes, there are. See, there is a group of people in Britain also, you call them Unitarians. They believe in the oneness of Allah. But But while they believe in the oneness of Allah, they think it is in the Bible, and which is so. The Bible doesn't teach Trinity. It doesn't. It doesn't teach the multiplicity of God. It doesn't. So they read the Bible, so the unity is there, and it is there. It is in the Bible. So they are still Christians. They believe in one Allah, but they still think that they are Christians. And there is no need for them to become Muslims. So our problem is that we should, these people have come so close to us. See? There is a Trinity, there's another group of people called themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. They say that God is one. God is not a triune God. That there is a secret. As soon as a person accepts what you say, we must congratulate the man. Now that is great religion plan. Agreement. As soon as the man says he believes in Allah, he says, he doesn't believe in the Trinity. He doesn't believe that Jesus is God, it's a congratulation. Look, our main problem is over with that person. The biggest stumbling block is the Trinity of Christ, that Jesus is God, or the Trinity, three in one. As soon as the man renounces that, he's coming closer to you, accepting with open arms. And this is the secret Allah is giving us in the Quran. قُلْ كَوْلَا يَا أَحْلَ الْكِتَابُ فِيكُمَ اتَّبُوكُمْ تَعَلَا وَكَمْ إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Then we come to common terms that we can have in view. So let's get on to a common platform. And that's kalima. Yet the Jews and the Christians bring them, all them, that applies to anybody, anybody. Get on to anybody, everybody, onto a common platform, a common agreement on anything. In this case, this is number one. Allah, Abuda illallah, that we worship none but Allah. Yes, maybe it is number one. Islam is a function. In his policy of human religion, he believes in one God. But who is that one God? Some of them might say that is Jesus Christ. The Hindu says it's Rama. Some says that everybody says there is one God. Nobody says there are three gods. Even a Trinitarian, this is three in one. So once you find common ground, he has an opportunity to get started. The man says, I don't believe in God. You know, he's a very good customer. Did you know that? He's the best customer we have in our ages. He's the best customer. He's taken the first step in the direction of Islam. He is nearer to you than the Jew, and the Christian, and the Hindu, the atheist. We say, Kafir, the one who said, I don't believe in God, among the Western. I'm not talking about the Mushish of Makkah. I'm talking about the modern day atheist. The atheist means one who says there is no God. That person, he is taking the first step in the direction of Islam. If you recognize it. But we don't, we're going to fight it, we're going to go to hell. And the congratulations. It's amazing. This guy did that. You must be, what is wrong? You congratulating a target? I said, yes. So why? Look at it. I said, you know, congratulations. He's shocked. He's shocked himself. When I congratulate you, you will be to fight. And I don't fight. I say congratulations. You know why? I said, if you said you were a Muslim, no congratulations. You know why? Because your father was a Muslim, your mother was a Muslim. You are a Muslim. So what did you do? You were born in. Did you, you deserve it? Congratulations for that? No. You say you're a Christian. No congratulations. Your father was a Christian, your mother was a Christian. Right? This is it. So what did you do? Nothing. You were born in. But if you say you are an atheist, congratulations. He said, why? As a member of the team. What made you say there is no God? You are thinking. What are you thinking? You think from your background, your own experience. And your own experience was that in your own group, you were given a concept of God which was anthropomorphic, meaning thinking of God after your own pattern, that God is like a man. That's how you read the Bible. See, the Christian Bible, the first book, book of Genesis, it starts about the creation of Adam and Eve. We also have that story, but this is what I'm giving the Christian. That Allah Ta'ala creates Adam and Eve, and he puts them in the garden. He says, in the garden, eat anything, everything from the fruits in the garden, except the tree in the midst of the garden. That tree of that tree thou shalt not eat, because the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And shaitan making face into them, and they act. And when they act, This was supposed to be the tree of knowledge according to the Bible. So the knowledge came to them that they were naked. Prior to that, they were giving felicity, innocent. They didn't know that they were naked. Now they know that they're naked. So they started cutting leaves down on them. And Adam heard the footsteps of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Boom, boom, boom. You know, the mighty king, come. So he heard the footsteps of God walking in the garden. That's what the Bible says. Now, while I'm talking to you, I see mighty chant, millions and millions and bigger than that, the word must have shook. Boom, boom. So Adam put the footsteps and he hid himself in the bushes. God can't understand where Adam was a few seconds before. And he says, Adam, Adam, where are you? Look, this poor one doesn't know where Adam was. So Adam came through the bushes. And I did that. So look, if you behave like that, you have been a permission. Why did you behave like that? You must have done something wrong. So you know what he says? He says, the woman who comes here to me, she made me to eat. If you didn't give me the woman, I would be in trouble. You are the cow. You should not give me the woman. The cow suffered by our back. This is the woman that now gave us to me. She me. And the woman, it's you know, the serpent that guided me, passing the buck, the oldest thing in the world, passing the responsibility to somebody else. But you believe in a God like that? Do you? No. Same book, first book, Genesis. Hazrat Musa, he says, oh God, oh Lord, I want to see you. In the Quran, same request. Allah says, run Quran, you can never see me. He is insisting in the Bible. I must see you, I love you. And sometimes they want to do them, you know. They also want something that is not good for them. They do the same thing, so he is doing the same thing with Allah. So Lord, I love you so much, you know, I must see you. So Allah does you a favor. He says, put you between two rocks. He puts him between two rocks. He puts his hand in the opening that Musa can't see. Then he turns his back. Takes away his hand and pulls us on the back of God. So he's got a backside. He's God. He's going to have a front side. He's too horrible for Musa to see. He could have been it. So if God has got a backside and a front side, he's got a top side and a bottom side. If there is such a God, then you have a right to demand for him to see it. If God has a top side and a bottom side, he must be located somewhere. So Gagarin, the Russian astronaut, when he went out into outer space, and when he returned after doing his things, newspapers of the world getting banner headlines in inverted commas. Where is your God? Where are your angels? Question mark. Gagarin. So, I mean, the Christian missionary, so look at this. This guy is asking money to see God or to see angels. So he says, he's a fool. I said, no, he's not a fool, you are a fool. It is the concept you gave him that God wrote Father Christmas, said he wants on planet, he will see Daniel on the earth at his footstool, the rebel is his canopy, the loving Father in heaven. Millions and millions that are bigger than man or something like an man is a concept you gave him. Do you believe in a God like that? No. So no. You don't believe? So he doesn't believe. He doesn't believe in a God like that. So he has taken the first step. He says, La la, there is no God. First step, you have to say, what? La, why la? You speak in it? La, la, no, la, there is no object of worship. There is no God. This is what monkey God is, no? This elephant God is, no? This is woman God is, no? This Jesus God is, no? The God that Moses and Adam from the garden is, no? The one that Moses saw in that side is, no? So, we take the first step. Making the same of God. That's all. He said, la, la, choose the one that created. No, no, we have to learn. With the Jew, with the Christian, with the Hindu, Asian, not anybody. This is a secret. Try and find common ground from where to start. And there is, if you put on the thinking, yet there isn't a person who can't get started on that level. Whatever you say, try and find a common ground and get off from there. Get off from there. Sorry, my brother, I'm giving you.
Question comes from a sister who wrote
it. Really?
I can't read that. It's a little dry.
No. Who do you think? Oh, yeah, that's it.
It's an outbreak.
I mean.
سؤال يقول هل المسيحيين الذين هم الآن هم من يحل لنا طعامهم وأن يأكلون طعامنا وأن يأكلوا طعامنا كما جاء في القرآن الكريم she is asking if this Christianity who are living now nowadays are those people who they allow to eat our food and we allow to eat their food as revealed in Quran.
My dear sister, the religious, you see, my strength is my weakness. My strength is that I am an expert in comparative religion. And I told you how I became an expert. This is my key. This is the matter of Sharia, the law of Islam. Sharia, you are the Allah. If you don't know, replace it, get another one. This is not my thing, please. You know, don't embarrass me. You know, I'm going to make statements here and then you put me in a compromising position. You watch, I'm talking about comparing with authority. I said, I'm an expert. I'm an expert. If you have any problem, you let me come to me. It makes me happy. Because when I'm explaining to you this, I'm feeling that I'm shining before you all. Let's start answering and start apologizing for you. Make you feel very small. Don't believe me. Ask the Sheikh and the Imam. When the time comes, no, this is not your occasion.
Any other questions? Brother Nidhar, nice to have you here amongst us. My question is in a form of a little statement. A little while ago we heard your speech telling us that in your place, back home in Surat, there were a lot of nearbys and people used to be proud of wearing this kind of fine. And when you went back recently, you found that people didn't have their caps on because India is independent now. There's a lot of persecution going on there. Similarly, here in this country, there is a color discrimination. And worst is the religious discrimination. And especially in the Muslims. And especially...
I think the mind is not on.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Simply for those people who have not heard this before, I was putting a question in a form of a statement that Brother Nidhar had visited back in India, this place where he originally came from, and people used to, in them days, wear this cap on their head. And there were some nearby the people who really fought and defended Islam. But then recently when he went back, he found that people weren't wearing this cap because India is now independent and there's a lot of persecution going on of the Muslims there. My question is this, that in India, there are many more Muslims than there are here in England. In England, there is a discrimination of color and there is a greater discrimination of religion. We have an Islamic education society in Hayes, and when I approach a government department for an assistance, they looked at the name of my letterhead, the Islamic Education Society, and they said, sorry, we don't give any help to the religious organization. Now, this society doesn't only propagate Islam, but it also does other social work for the community in that area. And the Muslims, everywhere, have their own social needs, apart from their religion. But they are thrown out of the window simply from the title. We also heard that in India, they are trying to dissuade you from using your name, the example was given. Similarly, there is an effort here also to dissuade you from using your name. to dissuade you not to use your Islamic name for the organization. Take out the word Islam completely. Take out the word Muslim completely. Become a youth, Asian youth. Right. Become an Asian youth organization. Then of course you will get all the funds. But that Asian youth may be controlled by the Muslim youth. I am asking Ahmadinejad to throw more light and tell us that how do we defend this identity under such circumstances.
Thank you.
You see, if as it is, you can't hide your identity that you are not an Englishman. Bulk of us. There are some of us might pass, but very few. You know, can pass as a white man. A white man in South Africa, European. So, in the very first group, you know that you are an outsider, an interloper. Now, religious identity. I said, look, suppose it militates against your job. In the office, if you wear this, the guy doesn't want to do, you know, discrimination. You can keep taking off. But as soon as you come out in your own time, who's stopping you? In your own time, you will get to the underground, who's stopping you? So, the very fact that you find half a dozen people waiting around, walking around, the hooligans also won't touch you. But then, these guys, you know, maybe that's what happened to them, you like the sick. You see a quarter dozen sick, half a dozen sick. When I went to Hong Kong, I'm going through, I see a sick standing out at the bank, with this turban and this uniform. I see another Sikh riding a bicycle. I see another guy riding a taxi. I see another Sikh walking with his bike. And it left an impression that there are many Sikhs in Hong Kong. But there were at that time 6,000 Pakistanis. And there was not one Pakistani that you can see. There were 6,000 Pakistanis that I found out were there in Hong Kong at the time when I went in 1977. But there was not one you could see with an identity. Not one of the Jinnah camp. See, so there it is. Now, who's stopping you in your own time when you leave your job? Suppose that's your job that you work, but I think that even at your work. If you put this on, there is a respect to you. I work for Jews, I work for the whites, and my identity created respect. They knew that this is Muslim fellow, he stands for the principle. In my country, if you're standing for the living, you know, it's like you. If you have a headgear, you will get the living double big time. Because of course I know this guy is identifying himself, he knows where he belongs. Otherwise, we don't know what he is, a hooligan, a big man, a cutthroat, we don't know. So the guy passes by. But you have an identity immediately, almost immediately somebody stops, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, because you know, you are not ashamed of your identity. The guy gives you a lift. I feel trapped. And if they lash you on your head for that, probably they put it inside your pocket. But I feel that nobody will. You know, the Englishman, I find that he seems to be a very tolerant, generally, he's a very tolerant man. He is a very kind, hospitable man. I found him. Very cooperative. You know, the direction the guy stops, all the other things, and he wants to go all the way to show you. Logically, no, I can never do that. Again and again, one day we need about the help of about 8 to 12 white people. What do you find is Lubitsch from Slav, and the guy, and everyone will stop. And when one follows the tunnel, you follow me, and you follow me, and there's an army carry on. I feel that they're right for people. You know, the thing is, you can change them for the better. With your team, you can make them, you know, really possible to write them. They can do a better job than us. Once you convince them that this is the way, there's the solution to all the problems, and if it's not this, the solution to all the problems. Give it to them, share it with them, and in that process, that Allah will put you on. The details about your problem, I think you should discuss among your own brothers and local brothers.
Can I say a word referring to our brother, our Muslim brother?
Has the sister got a question? There is a microphone provided upstairs for sisters to ask questions.
Hello. I wanted to let you to say that we should change the environment because the environment changes us. But the environment doesn't care anyway. Arjuna go to school and, you know, read the Sumana religion, but faith is other people, the mothers, they don't care. We don't care if Jesus is born or not. We just live the life we want to live. And then, you know, Arjuna will say that, yes, it's better not to know the religion anyway. Nobody cares about religion anyway. How can we change these people?
I think in a nutshell the question was about the world, the environment that school is with. This can be helped. We can't change them to say, now look, we want everybody to wear Islamic dress or do this or do that, we can't. But this is the problem is at home, the poorest. Well, they are not Islamically inclined. And I agree with my sister that is the problem. The poorest themselves are indifferent what happens. So for that we have preached to them. And the best opportunity we had is Friday, Juma, we give the khutbah. Stress this point, how that we can make Muslims better Muslims, that they can care for the children really standardly. That once they do that, change the children, and the children, they will be able to change the fellow students. And so overall, we might be able to change the environment. That's something we have to try.
I will further quote this verse from Al Imran. This is regarding this which is upon him and the invitation which was given through our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to the Christians of that time. Inna masal Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna masal Isa indallahi kamasali Adama khalaqahu min turabin summa qala lahu kun fayakun. الحق من ربك فلا تكن من الممترين فمن هاجك فيه من بعد ما جاءك من الدين فقل تعالوا ندعو ابناءنا وابناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وانفسنا وانفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنه الله على الكاذبين. The translation is the institute of Jesus before God is as that of Adam. He created him from dust, then said to him, be, and he was. The truth comes from God alone, so be not of those who doubt. If anyone disputes in this matter with thee, now after good knowledge hath come to thee, say, come, let us gather together our sons and of your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves. Then let us earnestly pray and invoke the curse of God on those who lie. I would like to ask Brother Didat that this invitation which is in the shape of Mubala, this was given to our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And this invitation still exists in Quran. I would like to know that why the Muslim scholar put this challenge before the non-Muslim, the Christian.
The time and occasion for the verse, the Shana Nizu, I think it is that the Christian deputation had come from Najran to Medina. They had heard that now an Arab is claiming to be in communication with Allah, claiming to be a prophet. So I said, let's go and cross-examine him. Let us see what he knows. And for 3 days and three nights, a dialogue took place between our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Christian. During the course of the dialogue, this is some of the things that happened. One is that they said that Jesus Christ is Allah's son because he got no father. So Allah Bari Allah said, by Wahika wa Nabi to tell them, Inna Masada Isa, Inna Mahi, Kamasadi Adam. The similitude of the example of Isa, Jesus, in the sight of Allah, is like that of Adam. خَلَقَكُمْ تُرَابٍ He created him from dust, ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ And he said, be and he was. In other words, if Jesus, because he had no earthly father, if that makes him God, or the veritable son of God, then Adam is a greater God, or a greater son of God. That was the logic. But the arguments continued, and the people started accusing, the Christians started accusing him of of falsehood, that you are a liar, you are like this, you are like that. Now when he reaches that stage, say for 3 days and three nights, it was a dialogue, a discussion, which we are supposed to have. Ya Allah Kitab Ta'ala, come, do what? A dialogue, a discussion. But when he reaches the stage of cursing, the guy starts saying that, look, you are a liar, you are a cheat, you are an imposter. Now you reach a stage where you have to start now rolling up your sleeve. So, I want to be against her, so he wouldn't do that. He said, look, if you accuse me of a liar, there's no sense in me that you are a liar. And he said, I am a liar. I said, the curse of God is in you. And he said, the curse of God is in you. Let us now make a direct appeal to Allah to argue with him in this dispute. So saying, he said, look, tomorrow morning, I will come with my family, and you come with your family, all of you, and we will invoke the curse of Allah upon whom he lies, he who lies. Ya Bani Tala, if I am a liar, destroy me. They say, Ya Bani Tala, if we are lying, destroy us. It has reached that pitch from a dialogue, a discussion, to a contest of curses called Mubahila, from Munazira to Mubahila. So if you reach that stage, then there's only way out. The man says, look, everything, nothing works, and the guy is cursing, accusing you, that God will destroy you. So at that time, you will pray to God, who destroys who he lies, who lies. That is the difference. But we haven't even started the dialogue. When we're talking about cursing people, when you have to open your mouth, first open your mouth, put with us again, see, invite all the ways of the Lord with wisdom. While now it is in Hassan at the preaching, and reason with them, is that they are the best and most gracious. Old Quran is the system Allah is teaching you how to do the job. If you have another occasion, I will tell you how to take how Allah does the job. I can tell you all, only you have another half an hour, but it's not fair to anybody, not to me. From this morning, I have an edit, you know, all over where I'm going. I can straight from somewhere, straight from the masjid, I want to go to the hotel, I have no time to go to the hotel, I just come straight here, because circumstances for you. So there is a limit to what we can carry on, but this is the situation. The situation is, number one, you must start with a dialogue, a discussion. Long before you come to the stage of cursing, in this environment, in this day and age, you won't come to that stage. If this is your way, let them be lukum on your day. You come to that, you say, if you go your way, I go mine. As a last resort. Let them be lukum on your day. Your religion will be mine. As a last resort. You will not come to this case. But I want to hear that. In that primitive time, the Christian, they provoke him to that. They said, all right, Allah says, then come, let's get together and let him go the curse of Allah upon him tonight. So that Mubarak is the last resort.
Could questioners please keep their questions short and simple? And the next question from Sister, please.
Assalamu alaikum. Brother Bilal, I'd like to ask you something to do with Christians. I know some Christians who are so convinced about Jesus' healing power that they have witnessed it in their own families, where somebody practically who is clinically dead was brought back to life, because they prayed to Jesus Christ, if you like, and, you know, they claimed that it was due to his power that the child or whoever was so seriously killed was healed. Now, what sort of reply do I give to that Christian?
The question is that some Christians, somebody must have claimed that a person was clinically pronounced dead with all the instruments you have at your disposal, and somebody came along and prayed and the person came back to life, so that means nothing on the truth. The third religion is right, because they are dying. It says, now people like that themselves are much wasting your time with an individual, the hospitals are full of your brothers and sisters, go and heal them. What are you waiting for people to die and come back to life? The surgeons are doing it daily. People have been pronounced dead, certified dead, and they have been coming back to life. Again and again. There is a man was certified dead. He has donated his kidneys, you know, to be dead. But in England, in the UK, before you can operate to extricate the organ, an organ, any organ, that person has to satisfy that by two surgeons. And this individual was certified by two surgeons that is dead as a total. So they took him to the operating room. They were the box. And the surgeon was performing the operation to take out the kidneys. He put the knife through his abdomen. And he hears a sound. He's looking around. What the matter? Did you do that? Did you do that? No. And the heart starts to palpitate and the man came back to life. Look. This knife did the job. Now what are you going to say? The knife is gone? No, look, these things are happening daily. Daily they pronounce people dead. In the Food Stamp Hospital in South Africa, you know, one of the most prominent hospitals in the country, where Chris Barnard operates, transplants, a white woman was certified dead, put into the mortuary, certified dead, next morning she comes out alive. Who performed the miracle? That's happening daily. These mistakes are being made. So somebody by the way comes along, so wake up, and the guy wakes up, so what, I'm at 4 hours? What? No, it's a coincidence, things do happen. So tell them, you know, if they claim all these heavenly powers of healing people, they say, what you wish you had? Go to the hospital and get them all out, go to the hospital, go to people with their life, like blood, go on, do something for them. What are you wasting time letting them go to go? The patients are there waiting for you.
Now the Christians claim that the Quran actually says that Jesus will die and will be raised unto life again in Surah Maryam verse 33, which the translation of which follows as, so peace is on me the day that I was born, the day that I died, and the day that I shall be raised unto life again. What is your answer to that, please? No, the answer is straight, it's there.
Allah is telling you, stands to reason what happened in the Royal Albert Hall was that this Arab Christian, he mistranslated the Quran. See, the same fellow, Dr. Shiroz, he had come along at the Royal Albert Hall, it's on tape, V19 tape, I think it's available there, where he comes along and he says, look, what has he to say? This is what he said.
If the Quran is indeed from God, does it contradict itself in as much as it says,
okay.
Therefore, Jesus was born, he died, and he was again.
Salaam alayya, yawma wulidtu, you spoke like an Arab. I don't speak like an Arab, but you speak like an Arab. Salaam alayya, yawma wulidtu, wa yawma amutu, wa yawma amutu hayya. This is translated, so this is on me, the day that I was born, the day that I died, and the day that I shall be raised to life again. As an Arab, you have known better than that.
Mistranslated means, so peace is on me, the day that I was born, the day that I die, and the day that I shall be raised to life again. The day that I die, it is not the day that I died. It's not died, it's in the future.
So we believe that there will be a day that the Peace must die. Allah says that every soul must taste of death. Every soul, Jesus must also, he must taste of death, and Allah will bring back to life again. This is our belief with regard to all human beings. Everybody must die, and everybody must be raised to life again. Not excluding Jesus.
And a sister that asked a question, please. Brother Ahmed, what does the Bible say about the rights of women and how does this compare with those of Islam? And if they compare well, how do you answer some of the allegations made by some Christians?
For example, what allegations?
They say that Muslims mistreat women and their women are covered and such allegations.
A very generalized question. You see, the person tells you something specific. Mistreat woman. You know, are you all treating the woman well? Are they? Well, you know, because, you know, what's happening, not leave out the women, their own children. committee incest his own children. This 8% of all wives in South Africa, they commit incest with their own daughter, not stepdaughter, 8%.
Of Negro soldiers stationed
even during war, that they are too bad to be adopted into society. You know, we can be heard with Little Samuel and Haji Paul. If your sister has one of those, and everybody coming by, say, what's this? Say, my sister Mary's child. What's this? Say, my sister Mary's child. How many of you? Horrible. You shit them all women. So I'm asking them the question. What's them asking? Say, how many Negro soldiers were made compared to the whites in the UK, in your Great Britain? How many compared to the white Australians? The white New Zealander, the white South African, the white Canadian, the white American, the white Free French, the white Free Pole, who compared to the British soldier, how many blacks did they compared to the whites? Negligible. Compared to the whites, negligible number of people, soldiers. Then again, they were not given lessons in prophylactics, they were white pregnancy, they were white disease, and they were the family, I would have been in the mask, not in every prayer, granted. What amount of mischief was done in Christian England to produce those 5,000 mistakes? Can you imagine? And you don't have a right to point a finger like that? You? I don't know why you should apologize for anything. What is an apologize for? There's nothing you have to apologize for. Allah. Yes, go on. Come on, man. Tell us what you want to know. This is the teaching. What have you got? You've got nothing. There's nothing you can tell yourself one that cries like to your sins. He can't teach you hygiene, he can't teach you ethics, he can't teach you morality, there's nothing you can teach you, nothing. What are you going to do? Yes? What are you going to do? What else is bringing you for that? For what? I said, go to town with the man. This is the destiny. Allah says, did you hear of what I'm doing?